The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how this whole world has gone after him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So many humans. That was Topanos' first thought. So many people out on the streets today. So many people with strange accents and strange clothing, strange smells. It was the smell that always gave the foreigners away to Topanos. His keen nose could pick someone that wasn't from around here. He could pick them out from a mile away. And there were lots of them around these past few days. So many humans from so many different places, and so much excitement about something or other. Even a donkey could sense something big was going to happen today. And in fact, he sensed that perhaps, just perhaps, he might have something to do with it. His owner, Jacob, had loaned him out to a small group of men for the day. They seemed pleasant enough. In fact, they seemed pretty impressed with him. They seemed to think he was some kind of impressive beast, which was strange. People didn't normally pay much attention to him at all. He understood why. Topanos knew his place in the order of things. He was just a humble donkey. He didn't have any delusions of grandeur. His job was to cart heavy loads from one place to another for Jacob. It was hard work, but he was built for it. His back was strong, and he was fed and watered and stabled at the end of each day, so he was content with his station in life. One of the men who commandeered Topanos that day caught his eye. Indeed, it was the eyes that Topanos always noticed. Topanos had seen a lot of human eyes in his two or so years here on this earth. They weren't always very nice. They often threatened him in the pre-light dawn as Jacob loaded him up with olive oil or other goods that he delivered almost every day. They glared at him past veiled mouth and nose when the dust kicked up in the wilderness outside Masada. Topanos was always looking at eyes because that was what was always looking back at him. As a pack animal, a beast of burden, he was used to carrying oil or water or spices or even rock. And that usually meant that a person would be in front of him, pulling on his lead. Whenever Topanos would want to stop, to take a break, eyes would glare back at him, flashing or squinting out a threat. Jacob would scowl. He'd pull, he'd tug, and sometimes he'd even whip Topanos until he moved again. But the man who approached Topanos this day had eyes as full of life as any he'd ever seen. But there was something else. There seemed to be a connection between Topanos and this stranger, as strong as he'd felt even as a colt with his own mother. And then another of the men threw a rug on Topanos' back, and the man with the eyes gently lifted himself onto his back. It seemed his cargo this day was going to be a man. He'd never carried a man before. Carrying a man was the job that was usually reserved for the impressive-looking thoroughbreds that towered over Topanos. Despite the weight of the man, Topanos swelled with pride at being considered worthy for such a calling. At that moment, the stranger leaned over and whispered something into Topanos' ear. "Thank you for the honor of allowing me to sit astride your back, Topanos." How did he know my name? But then something else caught Topanos' attention. What is that smell? Every time the wind changed, the pungent odor of nard hit the donkey's nostrils. He'd not smelt that potent a fragrance since the funeral last week. Despite his kind eyes, this rider carried with him, no, on him, the smell of death. And then the journey began. It wasn't a long trip, only a few stadia, but it was one that Topanos would never forget. The one who let him grab the lead, apparently expecting some resistance. He appeared ready to jerk the young donkey into motion. Topanos, though, surprised everyone by being willing to walk slowly toward the main road, the one that led into Jerusalem. Topanos kept thinking about that man's eyes, the smell, and his words. Who is this man? The connection he sensed between his rider, though, wasn't his alone. He saw the attachment, the relationship, that these dozen or so men around him felt with the rider, too. Eyes kept looking at him, no, to him. They were proud. They were enthusiastic about what was occurring that day. Their eyes told of eagerness, particularly the one leading Topanos. Topanos had got a good look at his eyes too. Others seemed to have a cool respect for this one. He seemed to be one of the senior leaders of the group, but Topanos knew eyes. And this one leading him was not to be trusted. Topanos could see more than simple excitement in this man's stare. He saw ambition. He'd seen a similar look in others' eyes from time to time, usually around the time when he would deliver his cargo to all those at the end of his daily journey to market. Topanos saw greed in this man's eyes. "Judas," the rider said, "are you ready to do what we must do?" The one leading Topanos grinned triumphantly and announced, "Yes, Lord, I am ready." "Do what?" Topanos wondered. The one called Judas pulling on the rope seemed delighted in what lay ahead. From the feel and the glances Topanos could steal back at him, the rider seemed prepared, resolved, but certainly not eager for what lay ahead beyond the Mount of Olives. He wasn't like the others. This one called Lord was alone in his melancholy. All the others thrilled with what was taking place, but not the rider himself. As they went further, a small party of travellers began to gather around them. The small band grew and grew. Grandparents, mothers, business people, children, farmers, merchants. They all joined Topanos and this rider, and their little parade became a big parade as they walked through the streets of Jerusalem. And some of these humans said very strange things. They did some very strange things. Some laid their robes on the road to let Topanos step on them. He remembered once accidentally stepping on Jacob's cloak and being whipped for it. But these people intentionally allowed Tapenos to walk over their clothes. And when the road was even a little bit muddy, an out-of-breath man, sometimes young, sometimes old, would run up and throw his robe over the puddle. He even heard one mother encourage her son to take off his outer garment and lay it in the dirt at Tapenos' feet so that they might not touch the ground. Still others cut branches from olive or mustard trees or date trees and laid them on the ground. Others carried palm fronds and waved them in the air like banners. He'd never seen such reverence. He'd never seen such a spectacle. These were the same people who called donkeys ignorant. But they knew what they were doing. Some of these who lined the way, Tapenos knew these were educated men. Some were sophisticated tax gatherers. Tapenos could tell that they'd never done such things before. So why now? The crowd continued to grow larger and larger. Tapenos looked ahead and saw dozens of children running towards them. Behind them came scores of women, robes flapping behind them as they kicked up the dust at their feet. The men followed closely behind the women. Every single one of them, man, woman, and child, they were all shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." King? King? What king? Wondered Tapenos. Then it dawned on him. The man sitting on his back was a king. But what kind of a king rides a donkey like me? Don't they all ride mighty stallions? Tapenos would see horses like that from time to time. A sleek chestnut stallion had ridden into Bethany only a night earlier. When he arrived, Tapenos and every other donkey and mule turned to watch. He couldn't help but admire this distant cousin of his. He admired his lines, his sleek, groomed coat, and most of all, his size. This thoroughbred towered over every other animal in sight. Tapenos could barely have exceeded his height by standing on his back legs. Such is the fate of a donkey. Forever small, forever slow, and in some people's minds, forever ignorant. What kind of a king has to borrow an animal and then chooses to borrow a donkey? Tapenos wondered. Yet, here was a huge crowd. A rowdy crowd continued to gather to greet this one that they called King and Lord. Children squealed with delight. Women looked at him with tear-streaked faces. And men, some of whom Tapenos recognized as quite hard men, seemed awestruck. Every face shone that day. Hosanna, Tapenos knew, meant save. This crowd was calling out to the rider to save them. Many reached out to Tapenos to touch the rider as they went by, reaching out their hands. If only they could just touch him. If they couldn't touch him, they would touch Tapenos himself. What kind of a king was this? Then he heard it. Tapenos' large ears, while intended by God to ventilate him and to keep him cool, served him well that day. He heard it, but he didn't believe it. He thought he heard one man say in a gravelly rock chiseler's whisper to his young son, "That's Jesus, boy. And I was there. I saw him. I saw him call Lazarus from Bethany back from the dead." Lazarus of Bethany? Tapenos nearly stumbled in disbelief. Lazarus of Bethany? That was the last time Tapenos had smelled that acrid, sharp aroma of nard. Jacob had to rush some spices for the burial out at Bethany. Tapenos had learned that a man named Lazarus, whose two sisters had cried without solace that day, had died. So Tapenos, faithfully as ever, bore several large containers of nard to the sisters' house that day in order that their brother Lazarus might receive a proper burial. And Tapenos knew, he had seen the body that day. Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was as dead as any man Tapenos had ever seen. Ashen and stiff, beginning to bloat in the unseasonably warm early spring that year, Lazarus was indeed dead. And yet this one, this rider, this Jesus, this King, this Lord, had called him back to life. No wonder the crowd stood mesmerized. No wonder they called him Lord. No wonder they stood four deep, five deep, just to see him pass. No wonder their hands reached out, if only just for a touch. No wonder Tapenos himself felt so strange. It wasn't merely that no man had ever never ridden him before. It was that this was no ordinary man, no ordinary rider, no ordinary king. This was the long-awaited Messiah. But there was still one question troubling Tapenos that day. Why would the Lord, why would the King, why would the Messiah, the most amazing person who'd ever lived, the most amazing person he'd ever heard about, certainly for a young donkey, why would he choose a donkey like him? He knew that he was no regal ride, nothing fancy at all about a donkey, certainly not about Tapenos. As a matter of fact, Tapenos had to admit that donkey riding was actually pretty awkward. Jesus' feet were nearly dragging along the ground as they went. Tapenos actually wondered, hang on, am I embarrassing myself? He wondered if it was all a cruel joke at his expense. Were they all laughing at him? Why him? Why not a white stallion? Why not a coal black thoroughbred with fire breathing out his nostrils? Just as Tapenos felt the weight of shame about to overwhelm him, he felt the rider shift his weight on him. He sensed more than a smile on Jesus' face as the Lord leant in close and whispered, I chose you, Tapenos, because I am like you. You are like me? The voice said, I am lowly and humble. I carry a burden far heavier than any other can carry. I am scorned and ridiculed. I will be beaten and mocked. I am seemingly too small for some, yet too much for others to handle. I too am misunderstood. I chose you, dear Tapenos, because of your name. I chose you because your name means humility. And that is my way too. I chose you, Tapenos, because I am like you. He's like me. And then Tapenos did what any donkey in his right mind would do. He hee-hawed with every ounce of his 300-pound frame, not just for the mere joy of it, not to draw attention to himself. Tapenos didn't even really mean to do it. It just came out. What he meant to say, what he meant to shout was, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And for the first time that day, the rider, the King, the Lord, the Messiah Jesus laughed in delight. You see, he alone knew what a humble donkey on the road to Jerusalem with a precious cargo would say. He knew that if Tapenos hadn't brayed it, the very rocks themselves would have roared it. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, this Palm Sunday, and we feel a little bit like that humble donkey. Each of us feels unworthy. Each of us knows that we have fallen short. Each of us knows that we're not worthy of the glory that awaits. Each of us feel burdened. Each of us at times feel the weight of expectation. Each of us knows what it means to be mocked. So, loving Lord, this morning we come before you with a renewed sense of our need to be like Jesus in his humility. Father, we ask for your help this week, this Holy Week, to be Christ-like. Father, we know how the story ends, and we know that the shouts of Hosanna quickly turn to cries of crucify him. We see ourselves in the crowd at Jerusalem that day, Lord. We hear our own mocking voice call out. We are very much aware of our own fickle nature, of our own propensity to shout Hosanna one day and crucify him the next. So, Father, we offer you all that we have. We offer you all that we are this week. We humbly come before you, Lord. We humbly ask that you make us more and more like Jesus Christ. Help us to bear the load that you are calling us to this week. Father, we know that you won't place upon us a burden greater than that which we can bear. So, Father, as we approach the cross and as we approach Easter dawn, we commit ourselves afresh to going with you, to marching with you. We commit ourselves to following Jesus to the journey towards the cross. We commit ourselves to once again dying to self and to living for you, Lord. We commit ourselves to carrying the burden you place upon our back this week, knowing that ultimately glory awaits, true, abundant resurrection life awaits. Help us to be like Topanos. Help us to be humble. Help us to remain faithful this week to the cross of Christ and to the resurrection. In Jesus' name, the people said,